The great Chinese actor Ying Ruocheng was a translator for Bob Hope in Beijing. He played Willie Loman under the direction of Arthur Miller, and he's best known to American audiences as the prison guard in The Last Emperor, and here as the Tibetan monk in Little Buddha.
But remember this. Most important thing of all is to feel compassion for all beings, to give of oneself, and above all, to pass on knowledge, like the Buddha.
Ying Ruocheng was the descendant of illiterate Manchu warriors, and his story is a complicated one. His father became a national hero for resisting the Japanese, then an outcast when the communists took over. And Cheng himself was mysteriously imprisoned by Mao, for what he wasn't sure, and then later spied on his American friends at the request of his country. Claire Conceison is associate professor of drama at Tufts University and research associate at Harvard University's Fairbanks Center. She's a director and translator herself, who became a friend of Ying's and collaborated with him on his autobiography, Voices Carry, Behind Bars and Backstage During China's Revolution and Reform. And Claire joins us in the studio with his fascinating autobiography. Welcome.
Thank you, Robin.
With your own introduction, in which you explain that, like every biographer, you sort of had to think what to leave in, what to leave out. And you made the decision to leave out discussion of other women in Ying's life. He clearly loved his wife very much, and so that was put aside. And you also decided to leave out, for the most part, his and his wife's work as informants. You explain, even then, when they had friendships with foreigners, what did they do?
Yes, this is rather paradoxical because Ying Ruocheng and his wife, due to their fluent English and their kind of privileged background where they had known a lot of foreigners throughout their lives, had access to many influential foreigners, diplomats and other journalists and other kinds of people. And they were asked, like many Chinese at the time, to report on conversations that they had with these people, and it even went so far as them hosting parties deliberately to interact with these people and then report back to the government. And Ying was reluctant to speak about this to readers in the West because he feared they wouldn't understand how someone who had these close friendships could also report on them behind their backs. And I think you really have to understand the complex political situation in China at the time to know how real love for foreign friends and duty to your government could coexist in this way.
And even the same government that imprisoned you, which is where his words in the book start. It has here a touch of Hogan's Heroes, you know, the American TV show where he's, you know, constantly fooling some kind of thick prison authorities. Just tick off some of the scenes that he shares.
Well, this is very unique. There is a large body of Cultural Revolution memoirs in the West by Chinese people who were imprisoned and otherwise suffered in labor camps and similar situations during the Cultural Revolution. But Ying's is unique in that he really was playing pranks on the guards. He was keeping a secret prison notebook. But he doesn't brag about this in the sense of doing anything exceptional. He explains it as his strategy to survive without going into a deep depression, without losing his mind, and without committing suicide. He explains it as an anthropological experiment and an amusing game, in a way that he took an interest in the lives of these other prisoners, most of whom were peasants, but that isn't to make light of the experiences that people were going through in prison.
Well, there were many capers. There's the great carrot-stealing caper. He was constantly volunteering for things to get outside of his cell when he had absolutely no knowledge of the thing that he volunteered to do. You say anthropological, it also would seem to feed his acting. Here he is playing a prison governor, speaking to one of his inmates, who's the former emperor. Let's listen.
Why can't you learn to look after yourself?
There have been complaints from your cellmates. You must learn how to urinate at night without waking them all up. The way to do it is to urinate against the side of the bucket, not into the middle.
And of course, Claire Conceison, we're reminded in that scene that Ying Ruocheng knew a thing or two about being in prison.
Yes, and I think this really brings us back to what we were talking about, his resourcefulness and his own experience in prison and how this really came to bear on his role as the governor of the prison in The Last Emperor, that it was really something he had lived through and understood. You know, he's a forceful character, but he also has great compassion for the former emperor, and I think that compassion comes across as so real in his performance because of the compassion that he had for his fellow prisoners and because of his identification with that experience. What's really brilliant about the way that Ying Ruocheng decided to structure his autobiography is beginning with this experience of 3 years in prison and then flashing back to his grandfather's childhood, his father's life, and his own life. Because when you get to know Ying Rucheng as a child, after you've experienced him as a prisoner, you learn about the things that he did as a child, the pranks, the getting kicked out of different missionary schools, that led to this kind of joy for life, but also this clever survival instinct that helped him get through the prison experience.
Well, let's take a look at that, because you say looking at his life is a lens through which to see the entire 20th century in China. So give us a taste. The family rose up during the New Culture Movement. They were descendants of a Manchu tribe. And what's the significance of that?
Well, I would say that Ying Rucheng was very proud to be a Manchu. And this is one of the minority peoples of China. And the Manchus, of course, came into China from the north in 1644 and created the Qing Dynasty, which lasted till 1911. And then after that, China went through a series of, warlord era, civil war, the Japanese occupation, and then leading up to the political movements of the Maoist era. And throughout all of this, Ying's family was quite exceptional. They went from being illiterate Manchu warriors to his grandfather becoming a leading Catholic intellectual, founding a Catholic university and a free press, a newspaper in Tianjin. And Ying Rucheng really felt the responsibility of carrying on this legacy of his father and his grandfather.
So we see in him everything from, as a child, he watched a young girl he used to play with have her feet bound, to seeing his father imprisoned twice by the Japanese. His father became a hero to Chinese nationalists, and Ying had to take food to his father every day in prison. But then when the communists win the Civil War, his father is flown out of China. Well, ultimately, Ying survives all these spasms in his country and goes on to become, as we said, probably one of the most famous actors in the country. And he meets Arthur Miller when Arthur Miller's a tourist, but he had to convince Miller to stage Death of a Salesman in Beijing?
Yes, originally Arthur Miller wanted to stage The Crucible because he felt it had echoes of the experience of the Cultural Revolution, but Ying Rucheng, for two reasons, wanted to do Death of a Salesman. One is that he had read it 1 year after it came out in the United States. So in 1950, as a college student, Ying Rucheng read the play in English, and it started a dream of his lifetime to stage this production. And secondly, he felt that the pains of the Cultural Revolution had been expressed, and that what China needed was new ideas and a new way of looking at the universal human experience. And he felt Death of a Salesman was a truly breakthrough style of theater that the Chinese could be enlightened by.
Well, of course it's in Chinese, but here is Ying playing Willy Loman. I'm surprised that they were allowed to stage it. He played Willy Loman. And I just, how did China respond to this, emasculated, beaten down worker, Willy Loman?
Well, I think at first there were concerns that Chinese wouldn't understand the capitalist experience of the salesman in the United States. But what Ying Rucheng focused on was his love for his sons and this filial relationship of father to son, and that he would sacrifice his life for his sons in the act of suicide, and that this was something that Willy Loman, as played by Ying Rucheng, was proud of and jubilant about. And when the audience sees this touching scene, of course, they're mourning the loss of this wonderful character. And I think he thought that is what really spoke to the Chinese people, was this relationship between fathers and sons.
That's Claire Consisan. She's associate professor of drama at Tufts University and collaborated with modern China's most famous actor, the now late Ying Rucheng, on his just-published autobiography, Voices Carry, Behind Bars and Backstage During China's Revolution and Reform. Clara, did he get to see it?
The book, no. He died in December of 2003 when we were still working on the project, but he knew that it was forthcoming, and we did get to collect all the material for the book before he passed away, and he's very much missed.
Claire, thanks so much.
Thank you, Robin.